Why do we exist? Were we created with a purpose? Or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. The Universe Next Door is supported by the C.S. Lewis Society, Trinity College of Florida, and supported by gifts from listeners just like you. Discover more resources and continue the conversation at apologetics.org. And now, your host, the research professor of Bible and theology at Trinity College of Florida, author and speaker, Dr. Tom Woodward.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door, where today we are going to plumb the depths of a very important, perennially valuable topic to dive into, and that is the controversy over origins, and specifically the theory of intelligent design in competition with the reigning theory of neo-Darwinism. We have with us today a friend of mine. He is an author of a new book, Communicating the Controversy, and I'm excited to be holding a copy in my own hot little hand. It is a book that I became aware of a couple of years ago as my former student at graduate school, Gregory Gay, a local attorney, indicated that he was working on this. And I said, wow, how exciting that is. So my dear friend, my colleague in ministry, Greg, how are you today?
Fine, Tom. Thank you very much for inviting me today.
It has been a joy to have this journey of study together, and you are always one of my star students. Can I reveal that secret? It's not longer a secret. You've been an A-plus student all the way through. Congratulations on a job well done. Thank you, brother.
You're very gracious.
Yes. Well, I just could add that Gregory Gay is the attorney dealing in very specific areas here in Tampa Bay area. Maybe he'll give us a little story of his journey in the law, in law school. Of course, he learned the law and then he practiced law here for these number of years. And he's also become an expert in this topic. And he put his efforts together. He asked me a couple of questions about here and there and some of these issues. And so I was glad to give him some pointers. But it is his achievement. It is his book. And it reminds me of the release of Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, because this is in the form of a beautifully written book with 20 plus chapters. It has and it's really readable. I mean, it's only it's just 200 pages long. I like books that are 200 pages long. That's perfect size, Mr. Greg. And I just want to thank you again for the achievement of having worked on Communicating the Controversy. What is the idea? If you could just sort of outline a couple of the topics that are covered in your book. So we have kind of a smorgasbord in front of us, kind of dishes, like you go to some restaurant where you have some salads and some selections of meat dishes, and you have quite a smorgasbord. What are some of the topics that you're covering in this amazing new book?
Dr. Woodward, there are 22 different chapters on 22 different subjects.
Wow.
The world, what I thought we would do is to start with the first chapter on the different worldviews of religion. In essence, in the first chapter, I try and explain the tenets of Buddhism, the tenets of Hinduism. I try to explain what Muslims believe so that the reader is equipped to be able to defend against these faiths as confronted. Also, it gives the reader the better ability to defend, as we mentioned.
Let me just jump in here, because that's an important point. I mean, you're bringing out that there is a worldview background to this whole issue. But then that kind of clears the deck, right? You kind of explain these worldviews and a little bit of their conception of God or the lack thereof.
Yes, sir.
You dive right into the topic. So in about, 1 minute or so, why don't you just name off some of the favorite topics that you cover in the rest of the book after you dive into the worldview? Just give us kind of a bullet list, if you would.
Well, we have creation of the universe, and we have how the earth was created. After we get the universe created, we have to explain how the earth was created, and then we go into fine-tuning of the earth. We wouldn't be too much without the fine-tuning of our Earth. And then we go on into Darwinism and the disappointments of Darwinism, and we go into we're finally able to terminate Darwinism after a number of chapters with the fossil record. The fossil record will end any concern you have about Darwinism. But then I try and mellow into other subjects, such as, which are not mellow to many people, but in relation to Darwinism it is. There's theistic evolution. With theistic evolution, we try and explain how miracles are thought of to happen, do they happen, and when do they happen, and what's our evidence for miracles. We then go into intelligent design, your favorite subject, Tom. And so we have intelligent design.
That's, if I could just jump back in here. I mean, to me, that's where your book is actually moving through a process of analysis and critique. And if I could just say, one of the reasons I found your book so fascinating and so intriguing is that you cover both sides of even, you know, these trickier and more difficult issues. And the straightforward, you know, point is you want to know what the other side is saying, right? I mean, that's one of the, to me, genius points of this book, is that you allow the other side to actually have their say. And I think that if we could just hear a little bit about, I mean, your personal journey comes in here, because if you, in the law, don't allow the other side to be heard, that's a glitch. That's a problem, right? I mean, wasn't it your idea to present a good case, but both sides of the case need to be heard?
You know, as a practicing lawyer, I began and was always taught that you had to present both sides of the argument. And that's not going to have much of a ruling if you don't have all sides of the argument presented. That's why we want to cite statutes. And so what you've done, Tom, in your books, is you've helped me with what are the pertinent materials that should help me overcome intelligent design concerns by looking at the evidence, so to speak.
Well, let me just jump back in, if I could, because I think that one of the reasons you wanted to let people think, and that's important in a book that brings these issues out and provokes people to think. And didn't you and your wife actually have an experience at a seminar, and you were at a lunch table? I remember you sharing that story. Would you mind sharing that story? Because that is kind of behind your desire that people have an opportunity to think and to be gentle and understanding all sides of these issues.
Right. There's too many Christians, I'm afraid, take the my way or the highway approach. If you're not on their team, he's not on our side, then they turn it off. And the instance you're talking about, Tom, we actually were out at Southwestern Cemetery out in Seminary. Listen to me. Don't let anybody hear I said that.
No editorial slant in there. No editorial slant. Yeah.
We were out at Southwestern Seminary for a conference, and we were invited to sit next to a person. During the conversation, the person, the subject of Old Earth, New Earth came up. When I said that I could see the merits of Old Earth, the person actually got up, removed their tray, and went to another table.
Wow.
And I think that's disappointing, that we don't give everyone a full opportunity to be heard.
Yeah.
And I know you do that, and you give everybody an opportunity to be heard. And that's unfortunate that this doesn't happen. So that led to my concern that maybe we need to put both the pros and the cons of each chapter into the book. So you'll see in the book that we have the merits and demerits of each chapter, each subject.
Yeah. Well, let me just say again, in case you've just joined the Universe Next Door today, I am thrilled to be with my dear friend and my colleague in ministry. He is Just come on the board of the C.S. Lewis Society for another wonderful term. He has been named one of our affiliate lecturers. So Gregory Gay, an attorney here in the Tampa Bay area for many years, has now turned his attention to the diversity of topics and questions that surround this whole huge and growing every year controversy about origins. Were we planned? Were we the result of forethought and purpose, or we the result of just blind forces of nature that do their own unintelligent thing, their own blind actions through the collocation and bumping together of atoms and the zipping of forces around them? So, Brother Greg, if I can just, since we're a longtime colleagues in intelligent design and ministry of apologetics, tell me a little bit about your favorites. Just pick, maybe just pick one or two of your favorite chapters, and tell us why they're sweet and juicy and yummy for the reader. And I have many, many favorites, but tell us maybe a couple of your favorites.
Fine-tuning of the earth is just awesome. When you think about the fact that if our earth were 1% closer to the sun, then all our water would evaporate. If our earth were just 2% further from the sun, all our water would freeze, and we would... So basically, the earth is also fine-tuned to be in a circular fashion, whereas a lot of planets have a circumference that is elliptical. Ours is in a circle, so that we have the same access to the sun, and the same access to the water is not evaporated at any time. I'm so thankful that we have the fine tuning with the someone put the earth just in the right place, and we know what someone is.
Yeah, and if I could just say, I mean, as I was reading through your fine-tuning chapter, what struck me is that it's factor upon factor. They're piled one on top of another like a multi-story skyscraper. And you mentioned 19 universal constants alone, and on top of that, they've discovered several hundred other factors. And so your fine-tuning chapter is a crackerjack success. Let me just ask you one more chapter that you really enjoy in a kind of a special, like, personal way, if you can mention one more.
Well, of course, the human cell. We would be remiss to leave the subject without talking about the human cell, a most fascinating subject. There, when you think that there are 37 trillion cells in our body. How does the Lord make it work, you wonder? But the Lord has set up where the cell is so many of them that come, they're switched on and switched off as the need arises. Sometimes a cell activates and is... Sometimes a cell is activated to create another type of protein. Now, all that is done simultaneously without us even thinking about it. The cell is just amazing. When you consider how small it is and how all the cell is made up of just a few molecules, the alanine, cyclosine, guanine, and thymine, they're stored in all in the DNA molecule. It's just amazing that the Lord has created such a system. What would you add to that, Tom?
No, I think your chapter on the cell is another super top quality exploration of a very key topic. But I think what I would like to know is, if you could give me just a second, I would like to just share why I am so thankful that you even brought in Professor Davidson. Can I just tell that story real quick?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, near the end of the book, I remembered when you showed me Professor Davidson's work, and he is a credentialed scientist, but he's committed to the theistic evolution idea that God worked through evolution. And his even his description of intelligent design, unfortunately, misses the mark. And so as I was responding, you gave me, as I was interacting with you, and you said, why don't you go ahead and respond to Professor Davidson? And that's where I was trying to explain to him and to the whole world as they're kind of listening into this, that there is a missing aspect. And that is that the fossil record may show a progression over time of different kinds of animals, but it shows the, as you were bringing out, the Cambrian explosion is an unsolved and worsening headache for Darwinian theory, because the over 30 phyla that suddenly appear without any evolutionary precursors is something that the theistic evolutionist who tries to mix Christianity and Darwinism is never really able to solve. And it's not a problem that is gradually being, you know, figured out and resolved. It's a problem that's growing worse year by year. And so the opportunity that you gave me in that latter part of the book, the chapter on intelligent design and the other couple ones that dealt with the fossil record, were very heartening. Now, let me just turn for a second, if I could, to the topic of worship. Your book is unique. And let me just say again, in case you just joined us today, we have with us the author of a groundbreaking new book. I'm holding it in my hot little hand, Communicating the Controversy. And the reason, Gregory, if you could just say, I mean, if you agree with this, the reason you chose that title is that you want people to know both sides of the controversy, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay.
And so, and I appreciate the groundbreaking work you're doing to make both sides accessible so that everyone who reads this book, Communicating the Controversy, subtitled God, Evolution, and the Universe, it has not only a book that they can read, very readable, very digestible, fun to read, and it even has a study guide. What inspired you to come up with a study guide? Was that with the hope that maybe home groups and churches could use it?
Dr. Woodward, because so few of us during the past year have been able to get out and meet face to face, I created the study guide in a way that we can do this over the Zoom. We can meet as a group, and I would be honored to lead a discussion group to get people started in doing this, where they can then go on to create their own private group and invite others to, where the study guide is something that tells you each week what's coming up and what the chapter is going to be about, and gives you the ability to do a reading before the program, before you go to your class over the Zoom. Then you would have the knowledge of what's going to happen. Then we can interact as a group, maybe for an hour, interact on the from the materials from the study guide that are coordinated with the chapter we're going to be discussing that night.
Wow. I mean, that's a way to kind of accommodate and think smart about this COVID, you know, craziness, this chaos of having to be kept in. And well, you know, everybody's using Zoom more than ever. And so this is something that can be used still in a small group in a church or in a home, but also can be used in conjunction with Zoom technology or the equivalent, right?
Yeah. So I would be honored to lead off a study group. If someone's interested, let me know.
Okay. Well, that's a very generous offer. Thank you so much. And maybe we can see if there's a group that can be pulled together across the states and find a time slot that would work. And let me just say really quickly, again, the author of this important breakthrough new book, Communicating the Controversy, God, Evolution, and the Universe. And the topics are remarkable. If I can just read just for a second, you know, from the table of contents, we have a topic of the post-Darwinian world. In other words, where are we headed once Darwin falls? Mutation, gene flow, and what is this thing about natural selection? Is that enough? He has a whole chapter on that. He has the idea of Darwinism as duking it out with God's creative plan and why that is ineffective. And then, of course, even the not all evolutionists adhere to Darwinism. Some evolutionists have given up on Darwinism and are clinging on to the boat, the overturned boat of evolution, and looking for another way to write it and get going again. So I just find this amazing. Mr. Gregory Gay, the author, is with us today. He's been a dear friend for many, many years. Now, as we get ready to conclude our conversation, I was struck with worship. Worship is on your heart, right? And worship connects with origins. Give us just a hint of how worship is one of the purposes of your book and how it connects. That really struck me.
Dr. Woodward, everyone I meet with these days, especially when they come to my office per se, we shouldn't be discussing anything but what they want to discuss. But I'm so sad that you learn that most people have turned, you used to say, well, the children have turned off church. Isn't it a shame that children and the young adults don't go to church? I'm afraid we find that these days people our age have turned off from church. I don't know. It was something to do with they felt that a pastor was preaching to them. Maybe they felt that they weren't getting enough out of the service. But where we are now is no one is attending the church and no one is praising the Lord, which we're admonished in the scriptures time and time again that God's house is where we should be attending. We shouldn't just be pouting because things aren't happening the way we wanted them to happen. Instead, we must be going to church and we must be returning to church is what I'm trying to show in this book.
And so, and part of the spark plug, if I can just say that there's plenty of gasoline, you're trying to provide the spark plug for worship so that it explodes in the view of what God has done in creating us and leaving his fingerprints all over creation. You know, it's been a joy to work with my dear friend. We've been colleagues here in ministry, and to see this book finally, as it were, just in the last month or two, may see the light of day. It's been a toil, a labor of love for my friend Gregory Gay, and he has achieved an enormous breakthrough in communicating the controversy. So I'd like to close with just a time of dedicatory prayer. God, you are the great and mighty creator, and you are the one who brought about this opportunity for the problems of Darwinism to be exposed and for the truth and evidence of creation to be brought to light. So we thank you for Greg and for his family and for his law practice. We pray that you would bless the expanding reach of this book to touch lives and to draw people to know you, to experience your love and the reality of your creation, and to worship you as that beautiful final result. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you, Gregory Gay, the author of Communicating the Controversy. And if you want to order the book, it's available. I noticed the Kindle download is right there on Amazon, and people can also go to your website, communicatingthecontroversy.com. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door.
Before you go, please listen to this quick message from our friends at DNA and Beyond.
Welcome to the world of scientific discovery. I'm Jim Huta, and it's been my privilege to practice as a perinatal cardiologist for over 35 years, looking at the fetal heart as it develops in utero before the baby is born. We now know that the fetal heart development is controlled by DNA, but more importantly, there's a whole new code in a new area called epigenetics. Methyl tags, which are the signals or control molecules for the development of the fetal heart. Also, check out the dynamic colored DNA model. This is the only existing model that includes the DNA methylation molecules. You'll see methylation tags which attach to various portions of the DNA in order to control how it does its job. In our website, we hope to expose you to new advances in this area of epigenetics in our epigenetics section. Come and join us today at DNA and Beyond.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next week on The Universe Next Door.